broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
911, police, fire, ambulance.
Police.
What seems to be the problem?
Wait, I'll give you a couple clues.
I'm not a witch. I'm nothing you've heard.
This march is about the power to the people!
I may be dumb.
You blew it!
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. Through the looking glass we go. This show is informative, it's funny, it's wise, it's weird, it's like, well, it goes places other talk shows just can't go. And if you want to get a little bit more background and information, you are more than welcome to visit our website, the strong right arm of the Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. When you go there, you better get a backstage pass because you can watch live streaming video and listen to live streaming audio of the show as we perform it each and every night. You can also access thousands of hours of archive material, thousands of hours of individual clips, as well as video, as well as a news feed, as well as email. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. And a pleasant good evening to you guys. It was windy and it was cold here in Southern California, and that was a pleasant change of pace from last week where we had 120 degrees, it was 115 degrees downtown, downtown Los Angeles. Nuts. We've got David G. Hall. He'll be joining us here in just a moment on a story of interest, I think public interest, and it just keeps right on given. You know, they say that good news stories are like Christmas or like a wealthy uncle. They just keep right on giving. According, and this is out of Florida, according to the Broward County Sheriff's Office Call Center, what did I just hear there? Okay. Well, that's Joe. Oh, that's Jimmy. The Broward County Sheriff's Office Call Center, nearly half the 911 calls they receive are for non-emergencies, including calls over fast food complaints, plumbing issues, requests for escorts to concerts, and just about every other absurd scenario that you could possibly think of. My toilet's overflowing. What do I do? That's my personal favorite, Sheriff Al Lamberti said. The fast food offenses are usually the most common and often the most annoying because people think it's an emergency worthy of 911. Here's a couple of examples. This is one of three calls to 911 by Latresa Goodman. And this young lady was reporting not getting her chicken McNuggets in Fort Pierce, Florida, at their McDonald's there.
911, police, fire, ambulance.
Police.
What seems to be the problem?
I called a couple of minutes ago for police.
Okay, what's going on?
Oh, I'm to McDonald's, and I ordered a 10-piece chicken nugget and a small fry, and she took my money and gave me the change back, and then she came back to the counter and said that they'd have to have the chicken nuggets when I like anything else. I told her, yes, give me my spice, they ain't give me a McDouble, and just give me a different part of it. And she told me that she can't do that because I want anything else on the menu. I told her, no, you don't have my chicken nuggets. I want a McDouble and a small fry now. And she told me I will have to pick something else off the menu that equals to what I paid because she can't do that. And so I told her, just give me all my money back. I don't want anything. She told me she's not going to give me my money back. She can't give me my money back either. And so she's trying to force me to eat something off the menu that I don't want.
You know, I'm hearing that. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Hearing that again, that would piss me off, too. If I want to get all of my money back and they're telling me, no, you may not. You have to buy something other than what you ordered because we're out of the thing you ordered. Ain't that like defrauding a customer? Well, maybe it isn't. Anyway, here's another call. Silly calls aren't just happening in Florida. Here is a town called Aloha, Oregon. And this is Rabin Roaf Osman calling 911 to report he didn't get his orange juice from McDonald's. This isn't just a problem with 911. It's a problem with McDonald's.
911, do you need fire, medical, or police?
What are people doing?
Yeah, just police.
And what's the problem?
We're out here at McDonald's.
Which McDonald's?
The one on TV Highway.
Okay, and where on TV Highway?
It's on 198 in TV Highway.
So you're in Aloha then, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and what's the problem there?
Just the lady, we ordered some food and we went home that our order wasn't in there. And my little brother is crying for his oranges and stuff. And we came back with the receipt and everything. Hey, can we have our order? We paid for it. And she was like, oh, no, I can't do anything about it. And she was laughing at my brother-in-law because he ordered the food and he couldn't speak English right. And she's not even showing up in the window now. She said, she told us that she was going to call the cops and nobody has showed up, and that's why I called. And she was being rude. And, you know, we wasted gas. My dad came and everybody.
I want somebody here. Let my dad say what.
My dad wants a cop over here, so.
I don't want to make a problem here. I don't put the money, you know.
Okay.
David, you heard those call. What do you think?
It does, I think, show that there is a fundamental misunderstanding on the part of, not only just a fundamental misunderstanding, I mean, there is a serious intelligence lack when it comes to 911, Phil. And the other, you mentioned something about how there might have been legitimacy.
When he said that she won't give me my money back, she's making me... You know, pay for something, isn't that defrauding? Or
no, it's none of the. You don't call 911 if you have an issue with money not being returned to you as a result of the purchase of something at a fast food stand. And of course, this complicates the fast pass that we've talked about with other business people and with other members of the community in terms of management and business ownership and people who are in real need of police service.
Now, you mentioned this fast pass is the ability for people in management, in ownership, or those who manage large sums of money to be able to use 911 for reasons other than what the rest of us can?
Well, no, but I don't want anybody to think they're going to get some preferential treatment. If there's an emergency having to do with life and death, then the police and fire respond to that first. But the fast pass was something proposed in, I think it was in New York, and it's been embraced by a lot of us in business here in California and elsewhere. If you have a legitimate concern about making an airplane or making an appointment, if there is a business concern that involves a great many employees, for instance, large sums of money, you know, these wealth management companies, someone that owns a large company, that kind of thing, and you are not getting a response from whatever entity is you're dealing with, you could call 911.
So would that apply, for instance, to you or to me?
It would apply to me. It wouldn't apply to you because you are a talk show host. You know, there's not a compelling need for you to get wherever you're going.
But I'm a business owner.
You're a business owner of a small business. I'm talking about a large business. I would, and only because, and it's not because, you know, they like me better than you, Phil, I would be able to call 911 because I'm in management and I handle a large group of people.
So this sort of fast pass 911 calling would be allowed for what kinds of calls? Give me an example.
Well, it would be allowed for what that man was calling. I think one of the people said that their lunch or their breakfast was cold. I was in a fast food, and I won't mention any names, but I was in a fast food restaurant not too long ago. The food was cold. It was ice cold when it got to me. I called 911, and I was chastised for calling 911, but I said to the officer when he responded, I said, you got to understand something. He said to me, why didn't you just complain to the people in the restaurant? I said, it's a kid behind the counter. So 911 is a life and death situation.
So you complained about getting your breakfast cold, and you want to be able to call 911.
We would like to have that option. We would like to have that option. Not this group of people you're listening to. They are not, and again, I'm not trying to sound elite, Phil. This has got nothing to do with prejudice. It has nothing to do with race. Those people that you heard are not going anywhere that is going to make, it would appear, they're not going anywhere that's going to make that much of a difference in the lives of a lot of people. But if I'm late for a meeting or if I'm late for some kind of a confab having to do with all of these employees and a lot of money, because McDonald's gave me an ice-cold sausage McMuffin, ice-cold, then That's when we want to be able to call 911.
What is a cop going to do for you, though, that the restaurant can't do?
That's what I mean. If you've got a kid behind the counter, when you say, I'm not going to eat this, this is going to take the kid, I don't know how much time, to go and straighten this out. When you could get a police officer there, the sight of a police officer obviously is going to motivate the restaurant.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. So you're basically saying that while these phone calls are ridiculous, and they sound ridiculous to all of us, they would not be ridiculous were they made by individuals who have pressing business.
Well, no. If I called 911 and I said that they have somehow ruined my order at McDonald's, they've ruined it. I was on my way to a business meeting, or I was on my way to catch an aircraft. More to the point, I'm on my way to catch an aircraft. I'm on my way to catch a flight somewhere, and I have not had anything to eat, and they have delivered to me a meal that I didn't ask for. They've ruined my breakfast. Yes, I want the right to be able to call 911 and get a police officer there to take that report, because the restaurant is going to treat me in a probably dismissive manner unless I get a cop there. And the cop is going to motivate the restaurant. Now, the reason why we do not want this for the average people, like this group of people you're playing, they don't need it. They don't need a police response to them not getting an Egg McNugget or whatever they're called. I do need a police response. They don't.
You need a police response to get to your airplane or...
To get to my flight, yes.
To get to your flight on time or get to a meeting. They don't need a police response because all it is...
There's nobody relying on them to have a good breakfast in them before they sit down and address a meeting of some 200 to 300 people on fiscal projections, on the amounts of money that have been made, on what kind of a sales projection we have, what kind of a program we have. If I don't have breakfast in me, that's a disaster waiting to happen. If they don't have breakfast, they can go down to Jack in the Box or wherever and get it. So, yeah.
So what we are talking about, and maybe this is as the result of this, is it isn't so much that the phone calls to 911 are inappropriate, but there has to be some kind of a provision made for people who need to make phone calls to 911 about McDonald's.
Well, I didn't say McDonald's, Phil.
Well, that's what you're saying.
No, I'm not. I am saying there needs to be a provision made for people such as myself and other men in business who are not getting good service at some hamburger stand. And no, I don't want to talk to the kid manager. I want a cop. And I would like to have that. I think the rest of 911 works fine the way it is.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with David G. Hall, our Vice President of Syndication. You know, these 911 calls in Broward County, a lot of them, and they say nearly half of them, have to do with ridiculous things like their toilet's broken or they didn't get their Egg McMuffin or something. What Mr. Hall's talking about is there are calls to 911 having to do with a cold meal or a busted toilet that would require a police response, and that would be a call from a gentleman like him who has serious business to attend. 877-876-PHIL. Do we need two different kinds of 911s? One for rank-and-file people reporting emergencies, and one for individuals who do need to get somewhere because there's a lot of money involved, a lot of employees involved, a lot of business involved. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and I'm speaking with David G. Hall, who's the Vice President of Syndication for our company. And we're talking about these 911 calls that you've heard about, I've heard about, we've all heard about, people calling 911 because their chicken McNuggets didn't get there, their orange juice is cold, or you know, their orange juice should be cold.
Like their coffee is cold or something.
Yeah, coffee is cold, or their breakfast. And these are ridiculous calls. But, David, you're mentioning that you have a need, you and other people like you, business owners, people who are in management, people who employ a lot of people, people who are, can you, what about police officers?
Police officers on their way to work?
Yeah.
No, the police officers would not be included in that because a police officer has the power and the ability to make the situation, can correct the situation right there. So he doesn't need to call 911. He is 911. The only other people that I could think of would be, I don't know. What I'm trying to do here is make it fair and not make it, not overburden the system. But you need to understand, when someone says the Chicken McNuggets didn't get here on time, that is a trivial call, and it impacts an emergency situation. If I do, or an individual like me, that's a different story, because I am now waiting for some kid to shovel hot Chicken McNuggets into a bag that he should have done originally.
What about me? I'm a business owner. You see, the business isn't big enough.
It's not as big. I don't own a business, you do, but what you do is not as big as what I do, and I don't own anything. I work for someone.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Brandon in Nashville, Tennessee. Brandon, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Fine.
I'm listening to the conversation that you're having, and like I said, I'm a police officer here in Nashville, and we have two numbers, but it's not for just ordinary citizens. It's for 911 is a life-threatening emergency number for life-threatening emergencies, obviously. And we get loud music calls and dog barking calls, and that's always routed to another non-emergency number. But for someone who thinks that they're entitled to special treatment for 911 because...
Let me ask the officer, what do you mean it gets routed to another number? What does that mean? So if I call 911 and I say there's a dog barking, you guys say, hang on, and you put me into another line?
No. You can call 911 for that. We have what we call a non-emergency number. I'm sorry?
You can call 911. You can call 911 for a barking dog in your city.
People do call 911 for all sorts of things.
Is it legal? Is it legal?
And it's advertised around here that
this guy said he's a cop.
Yeah, you're a police officer, right?
Yeah.
Did you say you're a cop?
Yeah.
You don't seem to know the law. I mean,
well, let the man explain.
All right. Well, if I'm sitting and I'm waiting for my breakfast and it comes out ice cold, and I've got to get to a flight that there are 300 jobs depend on me getting to another city. And the kid behind the counter, who's got a summer job, brings me my breakfast ice cold. Who do I talk to?
You talk
Where
to the
I
manager
go?
Of the restaurant. You don't
no,
call
no,
a police officer.
No.
What is a policeman going to do for you?
The minute you show up with that black and white, you're going to see some action. You know it as well as I do.
Well, you're thinking that the cop is just by his mere presence is going to get your breakfast faster.
I'm telling you, it's going to put more of a what do you guys call it? An urgency to it than if the kid's standing there.
What?
Yes. Then the kid's standing there.
If I could speak, what would happen if I showed up on that call? I would call. I would absolutely talk to the person who called me out there first. And explain to them, are you seriously calling 911 because your food is cold? I'm not going to demand you get behind the counter, fix you a cold or a hot meal. I mean, if you're an adult, if you're not getting the service that you deserve, you leave. And you go catch your flight.
Well,
you're not entitled
to, sir. All right, fine. So I don't get a good meal in me. I get to Denver, Colorado, and I fire 300 people because of low blood sugar? Is that what you're...
Well, but you can't honestly believe the police officer is going to regulate your blood sugar.
I'm not asking him to do that. I'm asking him to tell this kid, get the McNuggets into the bag.
Look, police officers...
He's not a restaurant manager either.
Who?
The police officer is not a restaurant manager.
They deal with a criminal nature. They don't deal with civil matters like cold food.
Guys, exactly, sir. What we're trying to change is exactly that. We're trying to make it so, officer, that you gentlemen can help people like me, a citizen who employs a lot of people. I've got a flight to catch, and I've got a kid standing there, a jack-in-the-box, who gave me I was supposed to get a sausage croissant, let's call it. And it doesn't look anything, it doesn't even look edible. So that you can help. And
all right, listen, we got to take a break. Thank you for your call, Brandon, 877-876-PHIL.
I wanted to explain him so that he can intercede and say to the kid, you got to make that better.
He's not a restaurant manager. He's a police officer.
I'm not asking to be a restaurant manager. I am asking him, though, to kick some ass. Excuse my language.
877-876-PHIL. We need another 911 line for people who are in business who need to get going to get the restaurant manager going.
The Phil Hendry Show.
What happened to me? I was on the air.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And tonight we're talking about these 911 calls that have become such a nuisance in certain municipalities, certain areas. 911 calls because the McNuggets didn't get there. 911 calls because people didn't get orange juice with their breakfast. 911 calls because a toilet is broken. And believe it or not, it happens. David G. Hall is on the line with us. We're discussing the option for people such as Mr. Hall and others who are in business, who have a pressing engagement to make a plane or to make a meeting. Is there a option, a 911 call they can make to make sure that the – and you're not – you say that you don't eat at McDonald's, David, but you do fast food breakfast?
I do a fast food breakfast. I like Jack in the Box, which is a chain here in California. I think they've got it around the country. I get what is called a sausage croissant that they have. And a couple of times I got that sausage croissant, and it was the cheese and the pork had slid out of the croissant, and I want it done again. I won't have it that way. I've got a plane to catch, or I'm picking up Jim Miles, you know him, or I'm picking up somebody else at the airport. We've got a meeting, and there could be 30, 40 people fired at this meeting. We've got a lot. This has been a bad recession, and so I need some breakfast. They give me this. I can't have that. I want to be able to have the option, and I'm sure there are others. You can imagine Bill Gates. I don't think he uses fast food, but let's say someone media management, somebody who works in Silicon Valley, someone who works for the government that is in charge of a lot of people. I go to a fast food place in the morning, and I want the croissant done the right way, and they don't. Now I'm sitting there waiting for them to do it, and what happens? Things don't get...
I'm hearing water.
Just try to step into a tub of water, Phil. I just got home, and I'm very, very tired. I want someone to do it right, and if I call a police officer, I'd like him to say to the proprietor, you know, you opened up a restaurant. I didn't. I'm a police officer called out here because you don't know how to make, you don't know how to put cheese between two buns and get some action that way.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Kentrell in Greensboro, North Carolina. Kentrell, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with David G. Hall.
Hi.
Hello.
I was just calling to say that, I mean, it really sounds like Mr. Hall thinks he's kind of better than everybody else. I think that you have to also understand that, you know, little people such as myself, that I work for a huge company. If I'm not there at work on time, if I'm 1 minute late, my company loses a couple $1,000s, and that's just 1 minute late. Does that mean that I get to call in and say, I need breakfast? Does that also mean that someone such as my father, he's on his feet for 12 hours in a day. If he falls out because he didn't get breakfast, then,
right,
you know, that's an insurance liability as well as a loss of production for the company and therefore loss of money.
It's a loss of production for the company if the owner is forced to go out of business. That means that you lose your job, your father loses his job. You see what I'm saying? So I think when an owner doesn't get enough to eat, there are 200 or 300 people, as opposed to your father, who is very valuable to you and to his family, but in the larger economic sense, he can wait for his cheese, or whatever it gets. Now, you know.
Well, the lady is making a point about health, you know.
I understand the lady's point. And I think everyone should get a good breakfast. But if I don't get a good breakfast, people get fired. by the dozen.
Are you telling me, David, I just want to be clear, are you telling me that because you're not getting a good breakfast, your blood sugar is low and you're going to be firing people?
I'm telling you that if you... Listen, I'm on the air with you right now taking a bath. That shows you what kind of a pressure-packed day I've got. And I'm sure that Cantrell understands, if I am in a bad mood because I didn't get enough to eat or they put the wrong bacon sandwich that I ordered and I got to fire 30 people, and one of them might be your dad. See what I'm saying? Is the lady there? I guess not, huh?
Cantrell, you there? We lost
yes,
her. Right. 877.
I'm here.
Oh.
Yes, I'm here. I was kind of listening.
Have I answered your question?
No, I don't think so. I mean, with all due respect, if you are in a bad mood because you don't get, you know, good breakfast, it sounds like you're a big baby. I mean, I'm not trying to be rude, but it really does sound like it. If I go into work and I'm rude to every customer that I have, you know, I deserve to get fired. It sounds like someone needs to grow up and, you know, leave their baggage at the door and get your job
done.
You're saying that I'm a baby.
Well, but if I don't have a good breakfast and I fire you and your dad, what does that mean? That means you don't have a job.
You would have a lawsuit on your hands, sir. It sounds like you have a bigger problem other than not having good breakfast.
Exactly. What are you going to sue them for? What are you going to fire them for?
The economy's bad.
I mean,
that's unlawful. Well, not if I'm in a bad mood.
If I'm doing my job properly, you have no grounds for firing me. Yes, I do.
If the company's losing money, yes, I do. If the company's losing money and we have to cut back, we got to cut back. And it may be if I had enough to eat, I would have saved your job.
Well, no, wait just a second. If you had enough to eat, you would have saved her job.
Yes, because of my blood sugar. Blood sugar is everything. Blood sugar regulates how your brain works. All right? And, trying to find some shampoo. I had some shampoo here. You see what I mean, Cantrell? So if my blood sugar is so low that I don't value you as a human being, is that your fault? No. Is it my fault? No. Is it Jack in the Box because they can't make a sausage croissant?
You can't keep your emotions together.
How do you keep your emotions together when you're not eating? You can't be smart enough to put a little cereal bar in your suitcase
so that you'll be okay just in case something happens. That's what the rest of us
have to do. A lot of people do that. A lot of people do that, David.
Well, you know what? What do you mean? A power bar? Have you ever eaten
one of those? A little.
Have you eaten?
It's so important that you can call the police.
It doesn't make me.
Because your breakfast is cold. God forbid I would do something of that sort, as important as I am to my company.
Because I said, I may show up having not had the McMuffin, and you're fired.
All right, Cynthia, we're going to move on, but thank you. Very good. Cantrell, excuse me. We're going to move on, but thank you. Very good call. 877-876-PHIL. I think what the lady is saying is...
I know what she's saying, Phil. I don't need you to interpret. She's saying that she's important to her company, and she is. She's saying her father's important to her company, and he is. I've never heard of a woman and her dad working together in the same company, and he's working on a factory shift 12 hours a day, and she's sitting in some executive suite. She might use her influence to get her father. And
she didn't say that her father worked in the same company.
I thought I heard her say that.
No.
Well, the point being, though, as much as I would love to be able to keep her employed and her father employed, because it's a tough economy and I've got to cut back, I got to fire people. If I don't have something to eat, guess who gets fired? Her. Pardon me.
8778. I don't know why you'd single her out.
Well, it's not. Why wouldn't I after the hard time she just gave me?
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Here is Joseph in Phoenix. Joseph, you're on the Phil Henry Show with David G. Hall.
Hi, how you doing?
Yes, very good, sir. Thank you.
Hey, you ever heard the expression, a lack of planning on your part doesn't make it an emergency on mine?
Gentlemen, talking to me?
Yeah.
I'm a firefighter, and this guy's talking about business sense and how that the economy's tough and things like that. I'm hearing him say, can you hear me?
I can hear you very good, sir. Can you hear me?
Okay. Everything he's saying is that he has something, I'm a firefighter, I provide a service. he has something that is not emergent, he's going to take me away from and my ability to help other people in the area that may have a true emergency. But yet, we're looking at budget cuts and things all over the nation, too. Shouldn't we be able to come there and charge him more if he wants us to come and deal with something that's non-emergent for him? Why don't we break out your checkbook? What makes him so much more important than someone else? Let's say someone else makes as much money as he does, but they don't manage 200 or 300 people. Do they deserve that service, that fast pass?
I got to just... Can I ask your indulgence, Phil, and a gentleman's indulgence? I just got to run more water. Hold on for a second. What I would say to you, sir, is this. You're a firefighter, correct?
Yes.
As a firefighter, you don't have anything to do with the egg McMuffin. I'm talking about a cop coming down there. And like I said, and I think it's a term you can relate to, the firefighters are great. They have my support. Kick a little bit of ass. Let's get... You're out there, and you're saving lives. I'm out there, and I'm managing a company. We need our breakfast. We need whatever it is we need. You know, you may have breakfast at home. I don't. I get out of the house as fast as I can. And so I'm asking you... I'm not asking you anything. This guy's a firefighter.
Well, he's talking about being a part of the emergency response apparatus in society.
I would say that as long as he's a firefighter, I'm not bothering him. If he's a cop, I'm going to call him, yes.
Well, that's the point I'm trying to make, is these calls that he's talking about is not always filled at the police officer. Sometimes
right.
It comes to the firefighters, too. And that's, Phil, you made the statement for me that we are part of the emergency services. And it's no different than me being able to save someone's life or a police officer being able to save someone's life. You know, it's just, to me, I don't understand where this guy thinks that he has a special access.
I'm hopeful that we can do this, and we don't get a lot of pushback from the actual emergency responders themselves, because that would be...
These are not emergencies.
I understand that he doesn't feel it is, but once the law is passed, and I call up a Joseph, and I say, Joseph, you need to get down here, because, you know, the sausage croissant they made, maybe he doesn't want to do it, but he's got to do it.
Well, but for now he has an opinion as a firefighter.
As a firefighter, for now, yeah. But if I say I need you to come down here, and I don't know when I would ever call him, but that's what I would need. And right now, for instance, I'll tell you, I'm in a bathtub right now. I got home from work. I was dead tired. I needed a hot bath. If I turn that faucet on and there's no water, I want to be able to call Joseph and tell him to get to wherever they have the water and get it going.
So
fair enough.
What you're saying is, if you got home and you went to go take a bath and your water doesn't work in your home, that you should be able to call and even the fire department, we should come down and figure out why your water doesn't work in your home.
Because of the nature
of
the work that I do.
The whole concept behind what firefighters are for you know, saving lives and property damage. There's no property damage.
I understand,
here.
But I gotta. Your water's gotta be done.
So there's no property damage here. You're calling us. You're taking us away from our ability to respond to a true emergency at that point.
Well, but there's water being, but there's damage being done to me, and that's the point we're trying to make here.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much for your call, Joseph. There in Phoenix, a firefighter in Phoenix, on the Phil Hendry Show. David G. Hall with us. I would ask by screener if you could get him to get out of the tub or whatever he's doing, because the water is... Okay, thanks, bud. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to be back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show with David G. Hall on the 911 calls. Should there be a separate line for business executives, business owners, people that manage large amounts of money, individuals like that, so they can call and, yes, have a plumbing problem or a no-food-at-McDonald's problem addressed by the police? Next hour, Art Griego on Captain Sully's new movie deal. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, man, this is great.
Ow, ow, ow. Hold on.
Phil Hendry.
What's up?
Ow. Hold on.
David G. Hall on the line with us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL as we talk about 911 calls and should there be another line for people who are executives or in the upper levels of management who have planes to make or they have meetings to get to, and they do need a police officer's response at McDonald's. Are you all right, David?
I got the shampoo in my eye. Oh, that hurt.
Okay, you all right?
No, I'm not all right. I got shampoo in my eyes. I got this Johnson & Johnson No Tears. I guess it's for babies. I would like to say that I wouldn't get put this with any kid that I have because it almost blinded me.
Well, it's for babies. I don't know how much you're using. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Gary in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Gary, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with David G. Hall. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I just have a comment.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Hall, I want to tell you, I was a 911 operator for 30 years. I've heard a lot of things. And I've heard
yes,
a lot
sir.
Of crazy things. But first of all, what you're talking about, calling the police department for a bad croissant or something like that, or your water going cold or something like that. First of all, their water departments for such things, their managers of these things, that is a strict abuse of the system. If you was to come to Winston-Salem and do something like that and argue with the police officer, you would probably be arrested for abuse of the system. And you should be.
Well, sir, I don't doubt that. Well, that's why we're looking to change the law so that finally these kinds of injustices can be corrected. If I get home from a week-long business trip where I've saved the jobs of some 30 people and all I want in this world is to step into a tub of warm water and it's ice cold, I want to be able to call you and you get, let's go, get some firemen or...
Well, what
is a
fireman
going to do? That's not a fireman's job, Mr. Hall. That's not an ambulance job. If you have a true medical emergency or a fire at your house, you call, we'll be glad to come. But to abuse the system like that for people who really might need it, I think it's very inconsiderate. And to be honest with you, it's very stupid.
No, it's not. Well, sir, it's not stupid because, as I said, I control the jobs of a great many people.
You don't control me at all, buddy. You don't
not you, but the people
all.
That, well, not yet, but if you, if, let's say they passed the law, and I called you and I said the water is ice cold, I did a
warm,
I'm trying to draw a warm bath, and you said no, I'd say, well, Gary, see ya, but let's just...
All right, hold on for a minute, Gary. First of all, David, you're talking a hypothetical, like this is a law. The chances of this getting passed, and you got cold water and you call Gary, who is he supposed to send?
What we are proposing is that the fire department begin to train its people in these tasks of getting a water heater working so that
the job of the fire department is lives and people, just like the EMS is to save lives.
Right.
It's not to keep your water warm.
Well, sir, that isn't the job now, but what we're... and I understand, Phil, we've gotten a lot of calls from people tonight that are not in favor of this.
Well, there are a lot of people not in favor of it because what you're asking for is the 911 call, which is a life and death call, is now you want to be split between life and death and these other matters that are not life and death, but will be addressed if you make enough money or...
I didn't say if your job is important enough is what I'm saying.
Well, okay. So we go from every day just like that. If your blood sugar's low, so you need an ambulance to get your sugar checked. That would be another thing.
No,
but,
I don't
need just because you're sugar croissant or you're
I need a sandwich.
That's not a medical or a fire emergency.
Not right now, but if we pass the law, we will save a lot of jobs.
They won't pass the law.
Well, if I can tell you, Gary, if they do, I get something to eat. I don't fire 30 people, and I don't ask for your job. If I get something, if I don't get something, yeah, see, this is why you laugh, but...
Well, the notion that you need to get something to eat so 30 people will have their job saved... I think is what is a little stretches the bounds of credulity.
Well, you say what you want, but you said yourself that was a legitimate call when that guy said, I want something else, and they wouldn't give him his money back. They were going to make him get one of those lousy sundaes instead of just giving his money back so he could go down to Fuddruckers or Carvel and get something decent to eat.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Hey, Gary, thanks so much for your call. Let's go to Kim in Detroit. Kim, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes. Hello, Mr. Hendry. I'm Julia Show,
yes, ma'am.
By the way.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, I just want to say to this gentleman, Mr. Hall, frankly, you sound ridiculous. Okay? I mean, for one thing, the police, they have a job to do. And one of their jobs is not being your babysitter just because you whined and didn't get the food you wanted. It's like this. For example, I went to Subway the other day. They didn't have what I ordered, so I just got a replacement. You know, that's nothing to call the police about. I mean, come on, that's a joke.
What do I mean, ask? Hold on for a minute. Hold on for just a minute. Thomas, give me a towel, will you? Well, get me a towel. I don't want to walk around naked. I'm asking the gentleman to get me a towel. Well, listen, I would say...
David, if you can get out of the tub.
I was in the tub, yeah. Now I'm asking him to get a towel for me. Is something wrong with it?
No.
I would say to Kim this. Kim, if a doctor misses a life-saving surgery because his coffee is ice-cold at Burger King, Burger King doesn't have enough money to pay for the sorrow and the pain they have put a family through because they can't make a BK with fish that you'd want to serve to a cat. See what I'm saying?
Okay,
Kim, you understand, right? Kim?
Phil Hendry.
I guess she doesn't understand.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
To get to this point and resign after saying he would not resign?
I'm not a witch. I'm nothing you've heard.
It's about the power to the people!
Aren't I brilliant?
Crap.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. This is the overnight radio's answer to everything. Everything you've ever wished and wanted. We go places where other talk shows can't go. They might want to, but can't go. Where truth is our bitch. Next hour, we'll have Robert and Bob in our news hour. Robert and Bud in our news hour, and maybe Bob. And where this hour, Art Griego joins us to talk about Sully, Captain Sullenberger, and a movie that is now being planned on the life of this very remarkable man. Captain Sullenberger, you know, the man who landed that aircraft, the commuter jet, the passenger jet, U.S. Airways flight, in the Hudson River with no injuries, no fatalities, and really a remarkable feat in the annals of, I would imagine, I don't know, I'm not being a pilot, but pilots probably must be talking about it to this day. In our affiliate spotlight tonight, Cincinnati, WQRT, 1160 AM, great people in Cincinnati, and brand new in Utica, New York, WUTI, 1150 AM. And I was on the air in Utica 35 years ago, and we'll talk about that one, too. Just, I can't believe, I don't think in over 10 years of being on the air nationally, we've ever been on the air in Utica. I mean, Buffalo, Syracuse, yeah, not Utica. 877-876-PHIL. That's the Mohawk Valley, man. 877-876-PHIL is our number. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And that is where you get a backstage pass for live streaming video of our show, live streaming audio of our show. You can take this show mobile on your Evo or on your Android phone. And if you have an iPhone, soon we will have on-demand video available as well. It's just one of those things, you know, how Apple and like that. But it'll be very cool. 877-876-PHIL. So Captain Sully lands in Hollywood. Film rights of his book have been optioned. It's a big, big story. We're bringing on the line with us tonight a man who knows a little bit about piloting aircraft, Art Griego, who is at Santa Monica Airport this evening. And, Art, thanks for joining us.
It's always a pleasure, Phil, and congratulations on the growth of your show and the excellence of your show. We enjoy it very much.
Thank you. You're very, very kind, Art. The Kennedy Marshall Company and Flashlight Films will fly. This is from Pamela McClintock in Variety, by the way, as well as our own Jason Rance, will fly with Captain Chesley Sully Sullenberger, optioning the film rights to the heroic pilot's memoir, recounting how he ditched U.S. Airways Flight 1549 in the Hudson River. No studio is yet attached. But this is the company, I guess, that will produce and will distribute, and so they just need an actual physical plant. Sullenberger penned Highest Duty, My Search for What Really Matters, with co-writer Jeffrey Zaslow. Sullenberger and his wife Lori will serve as consultants on the film, which could be a theatrical feature or a television movie. It's been nearly a year since William Morrow published Highest Duty. Other parties had approached Sullenberger, but he was leery about optioning the rights. That changed when he met Harrison Ford at an aviation event. Ford, who is not attached to the project, is, however, a licensed pilot. Sullenberger asked Ford's advice, and he recommended Marshall and Kennedy as a go-to producing team. Ford has longtime ties to the pair, who produced the Indiana Jones franchise. That's a pretty impressive group, huh?
Well, I don't know anything about the movie business, anything more probably than... Chesley Sullenberger, but it sounds Harrison Ford sounds like the real deal.
So what in your looking at this? You know, I was talking about how pilots must be looking at the actual landing of this aircraft, and I don't know if we ever talked about this with you, Art, a landing of this aircraft at the Hudson River. What are the odds of something like that happening as safely?
Well, I wanted to say, first of all, Phil, congratulations to Sully on the great and well-deserved accolades that he received when he did land this aircraft in January of 2009 safely. That is the number one consideration for any pilot, to make sure that people on your flight are safe and to make sure that they get from their point of origination to their destination safely. He did not get them to their destination, but I'll tell you what, with a malfunction like that, where you have a bird flying into the turbine, and you have an engine shutting down, and you suddenly need to bring that plane down, what he did was, it was a great thing. Now, I would give him all the accolades. You asked me about a film about it, and I'm going to be very honest. I don't know that it quite rates a movie.
Really? Why?
Well, it's something that you need to talk to anybody who is a novice at flying. Will look at what Captain Sullenberger did, and they'll say, that's amazing. And it is, because of the fact that he saved so many lives. If he did it and he was the only one on the plane, I would say that's sort of a part of what we do. What he did, Phil, is not that remarkable. You can, at that altitude, especially since the plane has not reached full power, you can bring it down in almost a glider fashion and set it down very nicely because you haven't reached full power. You haven't brought it from a very high altitude.
My understanding, and I don't know anything about it, so please, Art, is that the fact that it was such a... that he had to make so many fast decisions... You know,
he made, I heard him saying, you know, Jersey, no, and then I got to put it down in the river. I think he decided he was going to put it in the river, much, much sooner than I think he'd already decided. And I think he made it sound as if, it was going to be a real quick decision.
Well, what do you mean he made it sound that way?
Well, I think it adds a little bit. Keep in mind that this is a man, Captain Sullenberger, from what I understand, he's a guy that does motivation. He was advertising himself as a consultant, a motivational speaker, and so forth. So I think he knows how to brand himself and get himself out there.
You're not saying that as he was bringing this plane... Let me ask you a question. Could you have done this?
Oh, could I have done...
Let me ask you that. Have you ever done this?
Have I done what?
Have you landed an aircraft like this in a river, on a body of water?
I have not.
Well, then, all right. So,
but Phil, I haven't done it, but there's no doubt in my mind I could do it. I think any pilot that thinks he's a good, well, even if you're just, if you're a pilot and you're well-trained.
But you've never done it.
It doesn't. You're talking about what Sullenberger did.
Yeah, what Captain Sullenberger did was land this large commercial jet in the Hudson River after he'd lost his engines and had to bring this plane down safely. He had 155 people.
Well, Phil, I know the story, Phil.
All right, but you say you've never done this.
I have never done it,
But I have no doubt. Let me say something. I've never done. I've had no doubt in my mind I could do that. There's no doubt in my mind I could do it.
And well, isn't that a little easy to say?
No, it is not easy to say. No, it is not easy to say. It's not easy to say unless you know for a fact you could do it. I could do that. And so when I heard about the book, I thought the book is a great way to expose people to the profession of being a commercial aircraft pilot. When I heard about this movie, I had to, in my mind, I felt that I had to come on your program, Phil, and call a spade, and put a little reality. I think Captain Sullenberger's a remarkable guy, but, I could have done that.
You know, it reminds me a little bit, if you don't mind me saying this, Art, when Glenn Beck did the big rally, you know, and he had like, I don't know, 500,000 people to say, and then I heard Ed Schultz come on and say, well, I could have done that. Well,
No, it's not the same thing at all, Phil. First of all, I admire Glenn. That's not the same thing at all. You comparing me to Ed Schultz?
No, but I'm just saying, it's easy. Isn't it easy for a guy to say?
I think that Ed Schultz is dreaming. I would rather be identified with Glenn Beck, and I think I don't know anything about Ed Schultz. He doesn't look like he could do what Glenn Beck did. But I can tell you right now, what Sullenberger did, I could do. And doing a movie about something that a lot of guys could do, I think it's a little. And I'm going to use a word that I hope you don't misunderstand. I think it's a little dishonest.
And why?
I think they're making it out to be something really remarkable, when in point of fact, if, you know, I could do it.
But again, you've never done it.
You keep bringing that.
You know, but I'm just saying, let me say for the sake of argument here, that you could do it.
No, this is not, Phil, you're not a pilot. You don't understand what I'm saying. I'm saying I look at that maneuver, and I'm almost laughing to myself when I hear people say, oh, you know, isn't it great?
Why didn't you say something sooner, and why didn't other pilots say something?
Because we felt it was a good bit of promotion for commercial aviation, that a pilot such as Captain Sullenberger would get due recognition for a nice piece of flying. But now that it's going to a movie, now that he is talking to Harrison Ford, and I don't know what else he's done. I guess he's being invited over to his house. You might have information on that. I don't have that. All of a sudden, he's not a commercial pilot anymore. He's is he a movie star? Is that what he is?
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I have on the line here Art Griego, 877-876-PHIL. If I'm getting you right, Art, basically what you're saying is what Captain Sullenberger did wasn't all that remarkable.
No, it was remarkable in that it was good flying. But I didn't see him doing anything that day that I couldn't do.
Landing that aircraft in the Hudson River with 155 people on board.
I've heard you already say it, Phil, and I've read the story.
You could have done that.
Yes, I could have done it. I'm certain I could have done it. I'm certain. I think a lot of pilots could do it. I do think I'm a very good pilot. And in many ways, I think that I'm a better pilot than Sullenberger, only because I got out of flying for, you know, U.S. Airways. I mean, and I got into my own business. So it's like the equivalent of giving a doctor a movie after he successfully put a cast on a broken arm. All doctors can do it. And similarly, a pilot like me could easily land that plane in similar circumstances. So let me ask you this then, Phil. Do I get to have a movie?
Well, I mean, you're going to have...
No, seriously, do I? Where's my movie?
Because we haven't seen you do that yet.
But I can do it. I know how to do it.
Well, then why don't you get a plane and land it on, you know...
You know that they're not going to let me do that, because the FAA is not going to allow me to take 155 people and land them in a river so that I can have some of the good things in life like Sullenberger gets. They won't allow that. Sullenberger got his moment, but there are hundreds of pilots like me that will never have their moment. We'll never get our moment. because the FAA won't let us.
Well, I don't know what the FAA's got to do with it. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Art Griego about Captain Sullenberger and a movie based upon his book, Highest Duty, My Search for What Really Matters. And certainly a part of that memoir is his landing U.S. Airways Flight 1549 in the Hudson River in January of 2009. A maneuver, a landing that Art Griego says he could have done. In fact, most pilots who are any good could have done that, but where's his movie? 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back with more from Art Griego, and we'll take some of your calls as well here tonight.
Phil Hendry.
With the landing, Harrison Ford.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back. Here with me is Art Griego as we talk about the forthcoming film based upon Captain Chesley Sullenberger's landing of that aircraft in the Hudson River, the U.S. Airways flight. Before we take some phone calls, Art, you're now saying that this movie is almost a scam?
No, you're not going to get me to say it's a scam. I'm saying to you that the movie is, for those of us who could have done that, it could have been me. It's a little much. It's a little much for me to sit here and nurse a drink in the morning and look at Sullenberger. You know, I've had my ups and my downs. But one thing that I've never done, Phil, is I've never flown into a flock of geese. But because I've never done that, because I have never piloted my aircraft through wildlife like that, I don't get to have a movie. He does. And I think that is good. I think Sully is a great pilot, but I think to say that I couldn't, you know, that was somehow... And let me give an example, if you could...
All right, this is a tape?
Yes, it is.
Of what?
We're avoiding, coming out of San Diego Lindbergh Field, this was 5 years ago, avoiding a flock of geese. Roger, get out.
Over.
I'm going to vector out over. All right, I got a on radar.
All right.
All right. Starboard. Thank God I'm flying this airplane. Thank God for me. All right, Phil, that's just a piece of it. And
I heard you saying something like, thank God I'm flying this aircraft.
Yeah, because a good pilot like me, you don't want to have a guy that's only got a year in, and you take it out of Lindbergh Field or you take it out of Kennedy, and you fly it right into a group of geese. And you got a kid that's only been a year at the wheel, and he just got an animal sucked into the turbine. I'd rather shoot myself before I leave the house in the morning.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to go to some phone calls here for Art Griego as we talk about Captain Sullenberger's forthcoming movie. Brian, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I don't know if the whole thing merits a movie, but you know what? The man is still a hero. He had the presence of mind to do what was necessary at the time to get everybody in the water, if not on the ground, and keep them all safe. And he was the last man off the plane, Fred.
Well, you're supposed to do that, sir. As the captain, you do not leave the craft until everyone's safe.
Right.
That's pretty by the book.
He did his duty.
And okay.
He had been a military pilot before, correct? So
I do not know his background. It might very well be that he was, but the point I think is I could have done that, but I'll never get the chance because I apparently did something wrong when I didn't fly into a bunch of birds.
Well,
had I known, you know,
he did what he did was what he thought was right.
Right. That's, I mean,
he had the presence of mind to do what he did with the limited number of options. And I think that's...
He had the presence of mind to fly into a bird, and then the presence of mind to what? Land it in a river?
No, that's not what we're saying. He had the presence of mind... Go ahead, Brian.
Oh, he landed it in the river because he had no other choice.
Can you hear...
I'm not a pilot myself.
Did you hear Did you hear the tape of me avoiding the geese over Lindbergh Field I just played?
Pardon?
That was me you didn't hear that tape I just played? I played a tape of me avoiding probably close to 600 geese over Lindbergh Field. Now, is anyone going to play that on the news? No. Is anyone going to make a book about me? No.
No. I don't know if it deserves a movie, and I don't know if he wants...
Right. Does he want the attention?
He just says that him and his wife are going to be consultants. And let me tell you about that wife thing.
Maybe he does.
Right.
Maybe he doesn't. I don't know that.
All right, Brian. Thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. What were you going to say?
Well, he's got his wife involved in it, and that's going to be nothing but... That's a heartache waiting to happen because it's him. He knows what... Now his wife is, hey, Sully... you know, I want to, you know, get me involved, because she wants to meet Harrison Ford. So, you know, good luck to him. I'm going to play this one more time, Phil, because I don't think people appreciate. Yeah, look at starboard side. I run into those, they're going to get sucked into the turbine, and then I'm going to have to land this in the Pacific Ocean. You want to do that? So that's it, Phil.
All right, we'll be back with Art Griego on the Captain Sullenberger movie. 877-876-PHIL. What Sully did wasn't that big of a deal? Let's find out.
Phil Hendry.
Roger.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Playing that tape again.
All right, we're back on the air, though. Art, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. As we talk about Captain Sullenberger, Sully Sullenberger, the country really was admiring this man, still does, and I think it's because, as that other caller indicated, Art, a man that could do his job. You know, we live in a day and age...
No, there's no question.
I mean, but we live in a day and age of recession, of people doing... that they have thrust in. I'm not talking the average man. I mean people at the high levels doing their work so badly they've thrust this country into these recessionary times. Nobody seems to know their job. Nobody seems to know how to do anything right anymore. And along comes a guy who, you know, saves the lives of 155 people with a really great piece of flying.
Absolutely. Phil, I don't disagree with any of what you've... Does it warrant a movie... When I could have done that easily. In fact, when I heard about Captain Sullenberger, you know, I listened to the tapes, he sounded a little nervous. And you heard me on that tape. If I could play it again, Phil.
Well, we've played it twice.
Well, I just, one more time, listen to how calm I am as I... Running on... Right, yeah, birds. No, it's starboard side bird. Starboard side bird. I get collision alarm. Collision alarm. And up and over. Thank you. No sweat. Now you can hear how calm I was there.
I don't know what you're doing there.
I'm flying over. I didn't run right through the flock of birds. I went over them. Because I didn't want to stall my engine. Because I didn't want to have to land it in the Pacific Ocean. If I were Sullenberger, I would have flown right through the birds, stalled the engine, landed it in the Pacific Ocean, all the while practicing my speech.
Oh, come on, man.
Well, I mean, sometimes you wonder. You know,
that is patently unfair and insulting to say that.
I'm saying, sometimes you wonder.
877-876-PHIL, and let's go to a phone call. We have Randy in Temecula, California. Randy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Art Griego. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Art, could I ask you a question?
Sir.
How long have you been a pilot?
Yes, sir. Oh, well, 27 years.
And how long has Sullenberg been a pilot?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, you're not quite sure. Could I ask you a question? Do you think that...
Well, I think... I don't think for very long. I don't think...
Yes, he was. He was in the Air Force in the 70s.
Okay. Could I ask you a question?
Well, that's not a...
That's not a pilot. Okay, okay.
That's an Air Force pilot, and that's not the same thing.
All right. The gentleman... Go ahead, sir.
Could I ask you a question? So, I heard your tape about how you missed the geese. You missed the geese, and you did a good job.
Yes, sir.
But did Sullenberg have enough time to miss those geese?
I think he did, yeah. I think when you look out the window and you see geese, you can go, wow, there's geese, and fly, you know.
Well,
right, but it wasn't like a sudden attack on him at the last minute. He couldn't maneuver the plane, right? Or could he have? I mean, is there evidence that he could have?
A sudden attack?
Situation?
I believe that had I been flying the plane, yes. They could have been avoided.
If you were flying the plane, but what if the situation presented itself where he couldn't avoid the geese and he had to do what he had to do?
Well, how could that be?
Well, because
you're flying the aircraft and there are birds that don't fly as fast as you. They fly slow and they're stupid.
Okay.
You're a man. That's a bird. That's number one. Number two, you're an aircraft. It's a goose. It's a geese. And so...
Are you envious of what he did? Do you wish that was getting the spotlight?
Sir, that's a little childish.
It's a fair question.
You're saying that you could have done this and that he's getting recognition and that you could have done it. So that sounds like somebody who is envious of somebody.
You asked me about the geese.
Right, I'm going to a different question.
Oh, okay. All right.
You're sounding, I mean, on the radio, no offense to you, you're probably a great pilot. That's why I asked how many years, 26 years, that's great. But to say that anybody could have done it is yet to be seen, and it presented himself, and he did it correctly.
That's a very good point. Randy's making a good point. When in the history of aerospace... has a commercial plane landed in a river in a major metropolitan area, a potentially crowded airspace with that many passengers? When has a pilot done that?
You know, Phil, you know, when in the history of aerospace, you know, you sound like you and this gentleman, and I'm sure he's a nice guy, both of you guys are pretending like you're pilots or something. Is that
no,
it?
No. What I'm saying
no.
is...
No,
is,
we're
is,
not.
Is,
no, I'm not pretending
like
I'm a pilot.
Of the attention the man's got. I work in Hollywood. I make movies for a living.
Uh-huh.
And
yes, sir.
To make a movie about this man, I do a lot of television.
Question is, why would a guy... Well, see, that's just it. Is he going to do a TV movie or is he doing a regular movie?
What difference does it make?
I'm not sure about his movie. What I do is I work with Arnold Schwarzenegger on movies he did in life, and I work with Jim Belushi on his... He just did a new movie, TV show called Defenders. I don't want to, anybody. But what I'm telling you is... Is that
I would think he'd want to do a regular movie instead of a TV movie, only because the TV movie thing has already played out, isn't it?
Well, we're not talking about that right now. We're asking, the gentleman's asking a question. Are you envious of Captain Sullenberger?
Envious of what?
Envious? He's going on Good Morning America. He's been on every talk show. He's made money. He's been on talking tours. Maybe his wife shouldn't be involved, but... Well, that's her hang up.
That's what I mean. That part is really hard to take the wife button in.
Okay, let's wipe the wife out. Let's just ignore the wife. Let's talk about Sullenberg, the man who did his job. His wife wasn't on the plane. She didn't tell him what to do. So what I'm asking you is, do you wish you were the person that was on Good Morning America? Do you wish you were the person that got the book deal?
I just want to say one thing. The wife horning in is, it really pisses me off.
Yeah, all right, we've got that. We got that.
Throw her out.
Your question is what?
If it was in your hands, if you landed that plane, would you want to went on a world national tour and been on every talk show and got all the amenities that he got the money, the book deals, the movie deals? Would you have accepted all that? Or would you have turned it down?
I would have said,
I was just doing my job.
I would have said the following thing.
Okay.
You guys are giving me, you recognize that what you're giving me mm-hmm. is, I would have taken it. I would have taken it.
Would you have taken it, and would you have pointed out that any pilot could have done it?
No,
I would have pointed out, I would have pointed out that I would have said this. I usually miss those birds, but today I hit the birds, and you people think it's a big deal. Great, you want to start kissing it up one side and down the next.
Hey, let me tell you something. You're a pilot,
you know what I mean?
And you're probably a great pilot, but I play professional baseball, and I didn't make it to the major
league.
I thought you made movies. Not everybody.
You said you made movies. What do you mean you're
make,
in, what do you mean you're in baseball? You
so
said you're in movies.
What I'm trying to say is that because one of my friends that played beside me made it to the San Diego Padres. He was younger than me. He made it, and I didn't. I was better than him. I wasn't envious of him. He was asking me, why aren't you here, and why am I there? And I go, because you did better than I did. So what I'm trying to tell you is don't be envious of somebody else.
I'm not envious. I have a problem with the fact that because I don't run my aircraft into birds, some other guy is going to get to beat Harrison Ford, you know, and his wife. I will say this, because I don't run my plane into birds, my wife isn't going to be there bothering me making a movie, but...
Well, the wife is out of the equation.
Yeah, let's get the wife out of this.
But because I don't run into birds, I'm not going to be in a movie, you see.
Okay, so you would turn down...
Listen, hey, Randy, thank you. I mean, I think you made some very good points. You know,
Randy's a nice guy, but he didn't make any good points.
Yes, he did. He asked him specifically, are you jealous?
Of what? Jealous of what? What that guy did, anybody could do. Well, not anybody, but I could have.
Yeah, but you haven't done it, and you haven't given me an example of any time that, thank you, Randy, for your call, any time it's ever been done.
What?
When has it ever happened that an aircraft, a commercial aircraft, the size of the weight, whatever, landed in a river like that in a New York City, for God's sake?
Excuse me, have you ever heard of the Spruce Goose? Thank you.
The Spruce Goose is a watercraft. It's an aircraft designed to land in water.
You asked me about a plane that size.
You know what I'm talking about, a commercial aircraft.
The Spruce Goose circled Long Beach and landed in the water with Howard Hughes, and guess what? It was made out of wood, not metal. So that Sullenberger can, you know, if it had been me, I would have said, this is made out of metal, not wood. Let's hear it, one for Howard Hughes. And then I would have strolled off the wing of the plane into the rescue craft and kept my mouth shut.
In other words, once the plane landed, you'd be out on the wing saying, and by the way, this was made out of metal, not wood, let's hear it for Howard Hughes.
In a manner of speaking, yeah.
877-876-PHIL. Here is Anchorage, Alaska with Alan. Go ahead, Alan. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
What bothers me, Phil, about this whole conversation is it's a questioning of our heroes, because that's what it boils down to. And what your gentleman Art there is saying is that anyone could do that. Well, that's the case in a lot of situations. Matter of fact, we honor heroes every day.
I could have done it.
Yeah, I know. Okay, Art, but listen, in the military, we give a thing called the Congressional Medal of Honor for those people who prepare for the worst, and then when they're presented with the opportunity, they step up to the plate and perform exceptionally. They're our heroes. They're the Congressional Medal of Honor winners. And Sullenberger,
I'm glad you brought that up.
was given the exact same opportunity. And although many pilots out there could have done this, they didn't do it. Sullenberger.
I'll give an example. There's a guy that won a Congressional Medal of Honor. I'll give you an example. Guy who held off a company of Japanese on Guadalcanal with one machine gun, Mitchell Page. All right. Could I have done that? Yes, of course I could have done it. But I wasn't there.
Could you? Wait. How do you know?
What do you mean, how do I know? You say, is it possible that I could have held off a company of Japanese with a machine gun?
I don't know, is it?
Yeah, you're saying I couldn't do it?
Well, then I guess I could.
I'm not saying you could, I'm saying I could have.
You know what? This is what the man's saying. Now you're calling yourself Mitchell Page. A minute ago, you were Mr. Sullenberger, you know.
No, I didn't say that I'm Mitchell Page. But you ask me.
You're saying all this great stuff. Let me ask you something. Could you have invented the vaccine for polio?
I could have.
You could have invented the vaccine for polio, too. Okay, Alan, anything else?
Wait, okay, now I get it. Now you guys think I'm crazy because I can hear it
no.
The way that man snickered. No?
Hey, you know, the last thing is if there's any question at all about the heroism of Captain Sullenberger, it's unfortunate it's coming from someone in his own profession. Because
exactly.
I'll tell you what, we would cherish every chance we get to celebrate our professionals in the military, and I would assume the same professional courtesies and the professional
exactly.
relationships in yours, and I can obviously see it's not there.
Well, I think you guys, you know, all I'm saying is, why don't I get to meet Harrison? Never mind.
Oh, it's about meeting Harrison Ford. Thank you very much, Alan, for your call. 877-876-PHIL.
You sound all disgusted. Like, man, thank God I don't need a call. Are you saying, in other words...
I am a little disgusted.
Because
you don't get to meet Harrison Ford because why? Because you didn't do this.
Because I didn't... When are you going to hear me? I didn't fly my plane into a goose.
Well, Sullenberger didn't do it on purpose.
I played the tape. I'll play it again. Here I am as I'm flying through the... Where's the sound effect?
Oh, where's the sound effects?
No. What I...
877-876-PHIL. Let's take a break. This guy's dummying up. What is he doing? Dummying up flying past geese to show what a hero he is? 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right.
You're listening
Let me get to a phone call here.
Phil Hendry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and I know that Art is... out of Santa Monica Airport now, and we'll do a demonstration for us here in a second, but let's get to a phone call. We have Ken in Portland, Oregon. Go ahead, Ken, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, my name's Ken. I'm a graduate from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University.
Yes, sir.
And if Art says, I don't know what kind of pilot Art, but you said mentioned something about commercial or something, but I'm not a commercial pilot, but you should, if you're a commercial pilot, you should know that when Sully was taken off, he was either in VX speed or VY speed taken off from the airport, so therefore he couldn't maneuver to avoid the geese.
That's true. But he could regulate the time of departure off the runway if he saw, you know, that's a wildlife. They've got geese coming in and out of there. If he saw the geese in the treetops ready to do what they do, which is mess with the pilot.
Hey, timeout. They test those engines. They actually have frozen chickens that go through the engines when they test them, like the big Rolls Royces. And he didn't just hit one geese.
What are you talking about? What do you mean they test it with frozen chickens?
They actually shoot them. Through the engines to see if the fan blades hold up, and the compressors and all that. And then also, come on, and then. You should also know that when you get into emergency and you have engine failure, you do the ABC. A stands for airspeed, so you get your best airspeed when you lose the engine so you don't stall out. B is the best place to land, and he was over, New York, and he can't, there's all buildings and stuff there. And so the best place to land, you want to avoid population. And C is communicate. So ABC. And that's... I don't know. I don't understand why you don't
know
that.
I mean, I'm sure that they give you. I'm sure they give you guys all kinds of little flashcards with ABC on it. I've been flying for 27 years. You know, I mean, I don't know about that.
Well,
I don't know about
that. Write
that
down on your hand or something. I don't know.
No, I'm not going to write it on my hand. That's I come from the old school. I'm from the old school, which is basically this. You know, get that plane on the ground any way you can, even if it's on fire. Even if you're losing passengers.
and that's what he did. And the lucky part was he made a smooth landing on the river, and it didn't avoid anyone extra. I mean, it was a little too smooth.
You know, let me ask you something. You're a pilot. A little too smooth, wouldn't you say?
A little what?
I would. A little too smooth. Let me land this on the river. Oh, look at that. Nobody died. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that suspicious? Isn't that suspicious?
Oh, come on. Is everything a conspiracy?
No.
Is everything some, you know...
I find it very interesting that Sullenberger's, he made it sound like he was right out of a movie, you know. Yeah,
oh,
Roger.
No.
Mm.
Trust me. He was Captain Cool. If there was a piece of coal in his...
Exactly.
He was sweating.
What do you mean sweating?
I said if there was a piece of coal up his butt, it would have been a diamond, but he's got to keep all his passengers calm because he's the captain of the ship, you know? So you know what I mean?
I don't know what comic books you read to get into your flight school, but you're giving me a whole lot of fairy tales. Boy, you ought to write for these dime store detective novels. You really ought to.
All right, look, I think I understand what Ken's saying. Thank you very much, Ken. What is it that you're demonstrating?
Right now, I'm out for Santa Monica, probably about 10,000 feet. And I'm looking for a flock of any kind of a... Now, I'm going to show you what happens when we get in front of a goose. And
what are you doing?
I'll take one. Yeah, I'll take one. I'm on a right now.
What are you in?
An airplane?
No, but what kind?
A Learjet. All right. Ah, right there. About 10 o'clock here on my port side. All right, I'm going to vector in. Now, okay, good. This is exactly what I expected, Phil. They're not moving. Now, this is what you do when they don't move. And you do not have the time to get out of the way. All right, here we go. Yeah, nice shooting. All right, now what did I do? I hung a gun at the side of the...
Okay, thank you very much for that.
What do you do?
What do you think I did? First of all, the guy was dummying up phone calls about how he was flying. Now he's shooting geese out of the air. What's he in, some kind of a fighter aircraft? Anyway, 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil... What is it?
All direct hits, and you call me a liar. And Sullenberger gets the movie.
Phil Henry.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Is there any substantive reason to worry about them?
If people set out to disrupt town hall meetings to intimidate people who sincerely want to discuss...
He went further and dug his hole even deeper, burying Barack Obama, I should say, even deeper.
Hey, it's tired.
I was born of a whore and bred as an assassin.
You blow it!
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where reality is the bitch and through the looking glass we go each and every night here. The Alice in Wonderland of talk radio. Showing you both sides of the reality. Tiger Woods has left these text messages now. And these text messages have been released, so we're going to discuss that coming up here in this first hour with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley, the Western Estates Homeowners Association. There's going to be a planned ceremony honoring Tiger Woods. There had been, at least, in the United States Congress, if you're ready for this, there was at least one U.S. lawmaker who had proposed awarding the golfer a congressional medal. This is not the Congressional Medal of Honor or anything like that. It must be something that they give to outstanding civilians. This was Joe Baca of California. He introduced the measure in March. And on the line with me is Bobby and Steve Dooley to talk about that. I want to just mention to you guys that you can go to our website, philhenryshow.com, and watch the video of the show, as well as listen to our show on many of our great affiliates across the country. If you're not in earshot of an affiliate, we have live streaming audio, and we have downloads the next day of the show. We also keep a five-day video archive, and you can join us at Twitter tonight and talk about the show at twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. That's Phil Hendry Show. And we're on Facebook, too, facebook.com/PhilHendry. Bobby and Steve Dooley, Western Estates Homeowners Association. Ms. Dooley, welcome to our program. Thanks for joining us.
Well, we're very grateful that you had us on, Phil, and we're very, very grateful to be able to talk about this.
It's important to you. Why? And let me just tell people, before you answer that, Bobby, that you really want to see Tiger Woods get this award because of the things that he's accomplished, even though there has been all of this news, very unflattering news lately, about him. And let me do one more thing here.
You know, Phil, a couple of things.
Can you just hold on? I want to give our number out. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. And I'm just making a note here. Go ahead, Bobby. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Tiger Woods, Phil, I think we have to look at in the context of what he has achieved. Western Estates Homeowners Association, in conjunction with other gated communities in the area, has decided to award Tiger Woods the honorary congressional medal that Representative Baca, at the end of the day, really didn't have the moral courage to at least try to propose to the United States Congress. The reason why we feel that we're very honored to award him with this honorary congressional award can be summed up really in this very simple statement. 1997, the Masters, he wins by 9 shots. In the year 2000, he won the U.S. Open. In the year 2000, he also won the Open Championship.
Ms. Dooley, we know all of his accomplishments.
If I could just finish my statement, Phil.
All right, but we know his accomplishments.
Well, no, I don't think we do. I don't think people really know who this man is. In 2001, he won the Masters. He won it again in 2002. He won the U.S. Open in 2002. In 2005, the Masters again.
Again.
In 2006, he won the Open Championship.
If I go online, I can see all of these accomplishments.
You can see all of the accomplishments, Phil, if you're curious enough. But if you don't really know Tiger Woods, then you don't really understand the man, and you only get one side of the man. I just wanted to bring up one other thing. Tiger Woods, in 1997, was the number one earner on the PGA Tour. He held that position, with the exception of 2 years, all the way through 2007. In 2008, he was number two. And again, this year, he was number one. There are so many other areas that we can explore having to do with Tiger Woods and what he has accomplished, yes, not just as a young golfer, but yes, as a black golfer. And we're very, very honored on Saturday to be able to present to him this honorary congressional medal that we hope he will accept in the spirit that it is given.
Now, I want to ask something. Is Mr. Woods coming to your ceremony?
We are very hopeful that he will.
But you have no confirmation of him coming to your ceremony?
We don't want to comment on that right now.
All right. Let me ask you this. You're calling this an honorary congressional medal. Is it not the congressional medal, then? This is an honorary congressional medal.
It is the honorary version of the congressional medal that would have been given to him had Representative Baca had the moral, I think the moral courage.
It's really about the moral courage, Mr. Manner.
And I think just the basic courage to say, you know, we have to recognize, even when a man is, you know, allegedly involved in some things.
Well, it's not alleged. These are affairs and text messages.
Mm-hmm.
Dalliances with other women.
And it is unfortunate. And I don't want you to think that, you know, our hearts and our prayers don't go out to Tiger. And it's unfortunate. we don't really see where it has anything to do with the man. Again, you can look at the PGA wins, over 70 of them. There's no other golfer in the history of the sport that has achieved what he's achieved in the time that he achieved it. 38 European Tour wins, two Japan, Jap Tour wins.
It's not called the J, is it called the Jap Tour?
It's the Japan Tour, I think.
Yeah.
It's the Japan Tour, I'm sorry, Phil. Asian Tour wins, one. The PGA Tour of Australasia won.
But again, I'm not, if you want to give him this award, that's fine.
Well, we didn't really accept your invitation to be on the program because we wanted to argue about this. We are simply letting people know that Tiger Woods will be presented with this award, and if they don't understand that, we can certainly bring up the name of O.J. Simpson. Are you going to deny that O.J. Simpson won the Heisman Trophy?
I am not going to deny that, no.
Then you cannot deny that he was drafted number one by the Buffalo Bills. He was the first man to break 2,000 yards in a season, breaking the single-season rushing record of Jim Brown. You cannot deny the greatness of O.J. Simpson. And I think people will understand that in that context.
Well, I think you brought up the wrong name, to be honest with you.
Really, what?
I think that the name O.J. Simpson is typical of the name of someone who people don't like and would not care about his accomplishments.
Well, you know what? I think that's a matter of argument. I don't agree with that. If you don't like that name, Roman Polanski, are you going to tell me that he didn't make Rosemary's Baby, that he didn't make Chinatown, that he... Phil, the point that I'm trying to make here is very simple. There comes a time in certain people's lives that they have achieved so much. It really doesn't matter what they've done. It is so outstanding. It is so beyond what any of us could do.
Yeah, this is really the point of it, Mr. Henry, of what he did.
There comes a time in certain people's lives that they have been able to scale heights that you and I will never reach, that they have been able to win victories and become victorious in battles that you and I might run in fear from. And these are so profound that it just doesn't matter anymore.
It really doesn't.
It doesn't matter anymore what a man does.
You're telling me that in the case of an O.J. Simpson, for instance, who is alleged to have, and frankly, all the evidence points to the fact that he committed cold-blooded murder in two people, that his achievements outweigh that.
I am not saying that it was not a very tragic instance for Mr. Simpson. It was a low point for him. What I am saying is his achievements have been so outstanding.
What, I'd like to ask you a question.
If you let me finish. His achievements have been so outstanding. O.J. killed in his private life. Let's remember that.
Yeah, because of the privacy of it, Mr. Henry. And
Steve and I were talking about this, Phil, that this was O.J.'s... This is his personal life. And the fact that he committed homicide in his private life, not his professional athletic career... In other words, what it's saying...
No. This is not his private life. The murder that he committed...
No, what I am saying, Phil...
The murder that he committed is very, very public. Very, very public. Because it involves the police, and it involves us as taxpayers. It involves us as concerned citizens when we see the law violated in such a way.
What I am saying, if you'll let me finish, because you're missing my point, this was done in his private time, is what I'm saying. It was not done... Professionally, it was not something that he's known for. This is not any of your business other than the police, yes. And
no, it is my business as a taxpayer.
But it has nothing to do with, and it really doesn't rise up to the level of the things he's achieved. Let's talk about Roman Polanski for a minute.
Well, I disagree.
Let's talk about Roman. I know you disagree. Let's talk about Roman Polanski. Roman Polanski made some of the most beautiful films that have ever been made. Did he molest the child? I don't know. They say he did. But do you realize that what Roman Polanski was able to achieve in his life, to escape the Germans, to escape the Nazis, to make Rosemary's Baby and Chinatown maybe the two greatest films ever made? Yes, there is a point where you have to say even child molestation has to be put into some context.
I can't agree with that.
You have to put it into some context, Phil.
I know that Roman Polanski is a great film director, and I'll give you that. And I like his movies, and I've watched a lot of his movies.
Phil, you have to put this into context. Why should a molestation or a rape charge that was done 40 or 50, I don't even know how long ago it was.
It was 30 years ago.
All right. Same difference, you know.
No, not the same difference. This woman is in her 40s now that was molested.
All right. So, in other words, she's older than me. And I don't want to say get over it, and I won't say get over it.
No, I don't think you should.
But I will tell you this. That young woman, where she's sitting in front of me right now, I would say to her, you know what? It's Roman Polanski. Look at what he's done. And I know that if someone sat down with her and said, it was Roman Polanski, my God, I bet you if she thought about it, she would probably think, you know, that is pretty interesting. It's pretty good. Not so much that I was molested, but my molestation doesn't really register, you know?
Yeah, it's like a seismograph, Mr. Henry. If you molest a kid, yeah, okay, it's bad. Is it a register on a seismograph? No. But a movie, do.
The things that he did, those do register.
So Tiger Woods, what he did in his professional life, okay.
Well, sir, your audience really doesn't care what these celebrities do in their private lives. I mean, it's fodder for conversation, but what we remember more than anything else are their achievements. Kobe Bryant, another case in point. He is alleged to have bent a woman over a chair and humiliated her by holding her hair, bending her over a chair.
Yeah, I know what he's charged with having done.
Does anybody remember that? No. What they do remember, though, is Kobe leading the Los Angeles Lakers to its victory. And that is what people remember.
Well, I think it's unfortunate people don't remember what Kobe Bryant did. I remember making a big deal out of it at the time and everybody telling me that I was crazy, big wow. Anyway, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Bobby and Steve Dooley on to talk about a Tiger Woods, and really, his achievements are so immense, his achievements are so historic, that there comes a point when it really doesn't matter what a man of great achievement does in his private life, because all eyes are on the great achievements. And we just got done talking about Kobe Bryant and Roman Polanski. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here with Bobby and Steve Dooley on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Very weird.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Phil Henry.
Lame. Oh, yeah, you're lame. Nothing like those cats. They're lame. They're lame. Oh, God, they need a life. They're lame. 9/11 truthers suck. Blow it out your butt. All right, I copyright that idea right now.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
You're not getting it at all.
I am getting it, and I'm talking off the air.
You don't understand. Let me tell you something about that comic.
All right, we can talk about... We were talking off the air. We're back with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley here. We're on the air now, Ms. Dooley. We can talk about it, and you brought up the name of Fatty Arbuckle, who was the famous comic in the 20s, who was convicted of raping and basically manslaughter, killing a girl in San Francisco. Do you find that excusable?
I do not find it. What I am saying is, do you understand that Fatty Arbuckle would have been as popular and as pivotal as Charlie Chaplin? America would have had its answer to Chaplin, but instead, Fatty Arbuckle is remembered for a party. Okay?
No, not a party. A party that in which a girl was killed when he raped her. Okay?
I understand that. How many times are you going to say that? It does not deny the brilliance of his work.
Well, I don't know Fatty Arbuckle's work, and I'm sort of happy that I don't, because, frankly, what he did makes me, sick. Here is Jerron in Tennessee. Jerron, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Go ahead, please.
Hey, thanks, Phil. I got a question for you, Bobby Boo. Do you have children?
You know something? You can talk to me with respect or not at all. You understand
okay.
What I mean?
Sorry, Bobby. Do you have children?
Do you want me to make fun of your name, which is a very unusual name?
Hey, I get that a lot, but can you answer my question? Do you have children?
Right. Well, let's start all over again. What do you want?
All right. Bobby, thank you for talking to me. Do you have children?
Yes, I do.
Now, if I was to be of some professional greatness and have scaled a great height of proportions that no one else has ever achieved...
Which is highly doubtful. Uh-huh.
...your children, am I excused for that? Am I excused because of what I've created?
Well, first of all, Jerron, it's highly unlikely, having just spoken to you over the last 60 seconds, that you would ever achieve anything like that. So it's difficult for me to imagine that. But let's say, for instance, it was someone who is really famous.
Okay.
I would say the following thing. My children are taught not to get into those situations. So what you're bringing up is simply something that couldn't happen.
No. That's not fair. That's not fair.
Why isn't that fair?
The man asked you if, you know, it's a hypothetical.
Well, it doesn't make any sense. My children would never be involved in a situation like that.
All right, let's say my children then. Let's say my children were raped and killed by some famous guy who happened to go crazy one weekend or whatever the hell it was, and he decides to take it out of my kids. What do you think?
I would say I would be there with you every step of the way, Phil. I would be at your home. I would be helping your family. I would do anything that I could. I would say I would feel very great sympathy.
No, what do you think of the famous person that would rape and otherwise brutalize my children? What do you think of that person? Do they still deserve our recognition?
I'm telling you that I would sit down with you while you were in despairing and explain to you why I would still admire that person. I know that you'd understand. And
you know that I would understand why?
Because at that moment, you would realize when I told you. See, right now, Phil, you don't have that emotional stake. My kids would never go out with that. I mean, the gentleman's question, my children are not going to go out with Fatty Arbuckle. What does that mean? So they don't have to worry about being raped.
He wasn't talking about Fatty Arbuckle. He was saying any famous person. All right, we're going to be back with Bobby Dooley. Hold the line here. As she talks about man's achievements. Some men's achievements are so great that it doesn't matter what they do in their lives. And she includes in that group Tiger Woods, who she and her homeowners association plan on giving an award to this weekend. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back at a world-famous Phil Hendry show.
Phil Hendry.
They call it that.
I guarantee you they don't.
Well, the point is, Phil, 71 PGA Tour wins.
All right, well, we're back with Bobby and Steve Dooley here on the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk about Tiger Woods and this award you're going to give him. This is a honorary congressional award. This was the award that this Joe Baca wanted to give, but apparently he's not going to give it. You guys are going to give it a congressional award. You're not the Congress.
It is honorary, Phil. It is not the actual award. It is honorary.
Yeah, it's an honorary award for Tiger Woods.
Yeah, Phil, you're missing the point. It's an award that really should be given to Tiger Woods, and I've given you the reason. We're talking about 71 PGA Tour wins. We're talking about this Jap Tour.
It's not called the Jap Tour. You know, that is considered to be an ethnic slur.
My information is that's what the golfers call it, okay?
I know, Mr. Henry, I'm sorry, but I know a lot of professional golfers.
and they call it that.
Well, I don't care what they call it in the privacy of the locker room or when they're talking to each other. They're going to say whatever they're going to say on my show. We're not going to call it that.
Well, he won one of those events. And
all right, I know his credentials.
And so I am saying to you, and I am trying to get through to you, that there comes a point where you have to go, hello, oh my God, this man has transcended all of us in what he's achieved. We don't hold these people to the same standard. My God.
I don't even get it.
Well, maybe I don't get it, Ms. Dooley. To me, I've always believed we hold them to the same standard. That's the reason. Let's go to a phone call. Ellen, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley here. We're talking about Tiger Woods and his accomplishments as opposed to his private life. Go ahead, ma'am.
Well, I don't understand why she keeps trying to jam down all his accolades, as if America, this country, doesn't know about Tiger Woods' accolades and that he's a great golfer.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you?
We're talking to everybody like we're all complete idiots. And
did you know that he was number one on the money list?
And where you're coming from, and you think you could just sit people down and force it on them. And you keep saying, you're missing the point, you're missing the point. You've not made one point.
I tried to make the point. I made the point with Roman Polanski. Roman Polanski.
Why are you talking about him?
Because he has made great films.
Yeah,
and he's been persecuted.
You sound like you need professional help, and that if anyone was
to you're not making an argument. You're making an insult. You're not making an argument. You're making an insult. Yes, you are.
Excuse me. The prior
Yes, you are.
Hold on.
One question: if you had children, and you insulted him.
He started out by calling me Bobby. Excuse me. He started out by calling me Bobby Boo. That's the wrong foot to get off on with me. Does anybody call you a nickname that you don't know? I don't think so. So let's talk about, do you have children?
I want to understand you on this program.
You have not made
a point to help us understand where you're coming from.
Bobby, let me ask this question. Bobby, will you say that you brought up Roman Polanski. Okay, he's made great movies.
And I'll bet you anything that this woman has gone to see a Roman Polanski movie, even as he has been a fugitive from justice for child molestation.
Thank you.
Oh, right. Are you telling me you've never seen a Roman Polanski film?
I probably have not.
That's not a no.
One.
That's not a no. It's unfair to judge a celebrity.
You'd have to name one. I don't even know who this is.
Rosemary's Baby. Rosemary's Baby. Rosemary's Baby. Rosemary's Baby. Rosemary's Baby. You've never seen that?
I have not seen Rosemary's Baby.
What a lying.
Hey.
I'm not a liar.
Watch it.
I'm not a liar.
Watch it. Hey.
I've got it.
I don't know who they are.
Tell that husband of yours to watch his mouth, okay?
The Pianist, Chinatown, The Ninth Gate. You've never seen these films. I think it's really dishonest of you to sit there and tell me that you haven't.
All right, let's just go on the assumption the lady hasn't seen those movies. What is your point?
I know of the
point is,
but I've not seen the other two movies.
Bobby, what is your point then?
The point is this, that this man has given us so much joy that it no longer matters what they do in their private life.
That it doesn't. How can all that overshadow when someone does something?
Why do you care? Why do you care that it does? Why do you care that it does? I mean, I don't get you at all. Wow.
You're asking.
What's
me
not to get? The fact is,
you're the one that's got the problem. You're the one that's got.
I don't have a problem.
You got a problem with Tiger Woods or Tiger Polanski, or I mean Tiger. Roman,
I think that you're on something.
What's really interesting? You haven't made a point.
I have called up, and
you've called me crazy.
I didn't even want to go on the air. If you really need to,
what
know
is your
the
point?
Truth.
Well, then why do we have you on the air? Wait. Why do we have you on the air? I don't understand that.
This woman is. You violated the law by going on the air. Then when you weren't supposed to.
No, she hasn't.
I have not.
No, she hasn't.
I was trying to explain that listening to you, you have not made your point. And you can't
How many different times do you want me to say this?
I could track you down if your child was murdered or raped. I could
exactly,
you down
exactly.
And then I
let's say that your children.
You could never.
Let's say your daughter. Let's say your daughter was raped by Roman Polanski. I would feel horrible. I would go to your home. I would console you.
I think I would console you. With you.
You know, you want me to make a point, but you don't. You won't shut your southern.
Listening
oh boy!
To you. I am trying to understand you know, where you're coming
from. Would you shut your Beantown? Would you shut
children.
That Beantown pie hole, please?
Oh, Ms. Dooley, you don't need to start getting into the insults here.
This woman hasn't shut that beanhole of hers.
All right. No, I'm talking to Bobby, Ellen, and the fact is
okay.
that, Bobby, whatever point it is you're trying to make, you haven't made the lady's trying to say.
I've not heard
you're
her.
Saying, okay, hold on for a minute, Ellen.
Yeah.
You're saying that...
You see how Ellen won't even shut up? You even have to tell her to shut up.
I'm not telling her to shut up, no. I'm saying that you, Bobby, are saying that it is unfair to judge a celebrity by what they do in their private lives because they contribute way too much to society on screen or on the field and that they're different from us.
Yes. That has been the point that I have been making all along, but this lady from Beantown wouldn't zip the beanhole long enough to let me say it.
I won't shut my pie hole, did she say, long enough?
I said beanhole. It was a play on words. Bean, as in Beantown.
Well, I have
Bobby,
to try to understand your point, but you've not made a point. From what I've been listening
well,
to.
Well, just because you say that, then at some point I have to say the fact. You must be stupid. Because I've made the point a dozen times.
Oh, okay.
So you must be really dumb. Yeah, uh-huh.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well,
yeah.
I just left the hospital
mm-hmm. okay.
where I work. I don't think my co-working nurses think that I'm stupid.
Well,
I mean,
your
I can't believe that
well,
you're
I don't know.
And you
can you tell
me multiple times?
Yes, exactly. You've insulted me. And by the way, how much intelligence does it? How much? Oh yes, you have. You said I. You said I'm on drugs. You said I'm on drugs.
You're somebody that's
yeah,
under the influence.
That's an insult. And just because you rinse out bedpans doesn't mean that you're a pharmacologist.
I don't rinse out bedpans. Never.
3 points. 3 points. 3 points from the edge of the circle. Oh,
great.
All right. Now we're getting into a childish give and take here about who's scoring the best points. It's ridiculous.
No,
she's a nurse.
No. Well, I scored a 3-pointer from the arc. Are you kidding me? When you said that you were a nurse, and I said that you clean out bedpans, and you went, you don't get that.
Okay, good for you, Bobby. That's what you did. All right, Ellen. Thank you so much for your call. 877-876 Phil. Are you hearing what the people are saying? They're saying that no matter what, if someone does something so egregious, it has to affect our view of them.
And I am saying these people are so far above us, how can we judge them? God.
You listen to what my wife's saying, Mr. Henry?
I'm listening to what your wife is saying. So in other words, they're so high above us, Roman Polanski, Tiger Woods, who else?
Richard Nixon. You know who he was, right? He was the President of the United States. They said he was a liar. They said he was a lawbreaker. And yet today, he is revered as one of the great foreign policy statesmen of our times, Richard Milhouse Nixon. Are we going to forget all of the wonderful things he did because of something else? No. Let's talk a little bit now about Michael Vick. A great football player. A dog died. Big whoop. And
big whoop! There's people that love animals. I happen to be one of them, you know, and what he did to those animals, I couldn't care less whether the guy threw 50 touchdown passes in a season. Melissa, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Go ahead.
Hi.
Well, I think you're lying, Mr. Hendry.
You think I'm lying about Michael Vick?
Yes.
I'm telling you right now, if Michael Vick threw 50 touchdown passes a year, I could not care.
You're lying.
Okay, fine. I'm lying. Go ahead, Melissa.
Okay, I was just kind of misunderstanding why
mm-hmm.
you're comparing
mm-hmm.
Tiger Woods
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
Roman Polanski.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I believe what's going on with Tiger Woods is like a personal
mm-hmm.
issue between him and his wife. And
mm-hmm.
I personally.
Well, and the same thing with Roman Polanski.
Roman
it was private
Polanski
between him and the 13-year-old.
Right,
what?
Yeah, that's kind of disgusting. I mean, I think there's a big difference between what
don't
Tiger's
you think it's,
doing and...
Don't you think it's private?
You know, this lady's making a good point. Thank you, Melissa.
Now,
what Tiger Woods is doing is not illegal.
You're going to rape a child, a 13-year-old drugger and raper? No,
uh-huh,
I don't
uh-huh. I understand that, but don't you think it's between those two people?
No, it's not. She's a minor.
No. I do not.
All right.
As a parent,
Phil,
no.
Do you know who Phil Spector was?
Yeah, this is a good one, yeah. Phil Spector.
Phil Spector created the Wall of Sound. We wouldn't have Tina Turner today. We wouldn't have, you know, to do Run Run and all of that music. He shot a woman in the foyer of his home. So now I'm supposed to take all my Phil Spector records and throw them down a well. Well, this isn't 17th century Salem.
But thank you. How you can compare
Wait a minute. Yeah, they broke the law.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Those men, you respect, even though they broke the law. Tiger didn't break the law, but you don't respect him.
Well,
Tiger?
Yeah, gotcha.
Score it again.
Between him and his wife. I mean.
Well, all right. Maybe Melissa is not. Melissa, you're taking Tiger's side, right? You feel that they're making a big deal out of nothing. Is that it?
Well, then she agrees.
I really don't care.
Okay.
Well, then you agree with what I'm saying. I'm saying that Tiger Woods, let's say that he transmitted AIDS to one of these women, which God forbid he would ever do. I still think he's entitled to our respect and our admiration. That's all I'm saying.
Not on a moral level, no.
Hello?
No.
You're very young, and you haven't seen a lot of the world that I've seen. There may come a day in your life, Melissa, where you will thank God that a man's even spending 5 minutes.
I think there's a lot of the world that you haven't seen, and you need to go out there and maybe experience.
There's going to be a time in
your
life when you'll drop to your knees and thank God that a man's buying you a beer. And those are the times that you'll remember. Absolutely. And so these 11 women are, in a lot of ways, they're blessed. In a lot of ways, they're cursed because they're white. He's black. You know the prejudice in our society.
What are we talking about now?
Yeah, I'm confused.
I was telling her about Phil Spector and how
Phil Spector took a gun, shot a woman through the head. Okay? Your point is?
Whatever.
No, not whatever. Phil Spector took a gun, shot a woman through the head. It ain't whatever. So what's your opinion of that?
My opinion of that is that I feel bad for Phil. And
you know, when I brought up O.J. Simpson, you said you felt bad for O.J. You feel bad for Michael Vick. What about the people that they shot or that they killed?
Michael Vick didn't kill a people. It was a dog.
You know, that's me, a dog and a human.
Yes, I know, and I didn't bring. I'm saying, what about the act?
What about the act, Phil? You know, people die. Do you remember 9/11? And everyone's saying 3,000 people. Do you know more people die on the highways every day?
Oh, you know what? You're going to drive me nuts with this babbling about more people die on the highways. Bobby and Steve Dooley with us. Our number 877-876-PHIL. As we talk about Tiger Woods, and it doesn't matter what he did. It doesn't matter what he might do. It doesn't matter what crime he committed. It doesn't matter what despicable act anyone commits. If they are famous enough and they have achieved so many things, they're in a different category from us. We're judged differently from them. When we come back, I'll ask Bobby if she thinks that we should invent an entire new legal code for famous people. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I got you so good with that.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
You got you, Mr. Hendry. Who did Michael Vick kill?
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back here to the world famous and groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show. Bobby and Steve Dooley have joined us to talk about the Tiger Woods episode, the affair as it continues now, and the discussion here on this honorary congressional medal of honor that you're going to give him because you feel that he just transcends the rest of us.
Well, you know, Phil, you put it in a way that really mocks the rest of us. I'm not trying to mock us. I'm trying to say that Tiger Woods, let me say it again, and I would really appreciate it if you wouldn't interrupt me, because this is so important. PGA Tour career summary.
Oh, come on, Bobby. I can...
No, excuse me. He won. I don't know how many majors. He was the number one money earner. I've got all these things here.
Well, you're confusing my wife.
The point is, Phil, the day you go out and win two majors in a row, then we'll talk about some of the filth, quote-unquote, that you've been digging into.
Well, I'm happy to tell you that I haven't been digging into any, so you won't have to do any investigation, okay?
Well, we'll let the Times decide that. Thank you.
No, you don't need to do that. I haven't been involved in any of that. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Jackie in Tucson. Jackie, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
We'll let the Times decide that.
Yes, ma'am.
I need to address this nurse. As a nurse...
I'm not a nurse.
You said that you were a nurse earlier.
No, the last caller was
your,
a nurse.
What is your profession then, ma'am?
I'm a homemaker and a mother.
You're a homemaker and a mother. Okay, you are a disgrace to mothers everywhere then, because you're saying that Tiger Woods...
Oh, I see. And are you qualified to speak on motherhood?
I'm a teacher. I'm a certified teacher.
Do you have children? Do you have children?
Yes, I do.
Children?
Yes, I do. I am a mother.
Well, you,
a proud
you're
mother.
You're also a teacher.
A
you're a
child.
Teacher and a mother.
Please
so
let
do,
me
you
make
a comment. Do you have time for your children?
Let the woman say what she wants to say, please.
Please let me
go
make
ahead.
My comment.
Go ahead, Jackie.
You are very, very sick in the head. You are excusing this man's behavior for involving himself with at least 11 women while he's married. And it's only 11 that have come forward. I guarantee you.
Did it hurt you? Did it hurt you? Did it hurt you? No.
Please let me finish.
It didn't hurt you. It didn't hurt you.
Let the woman finish. Bobby, you're very rude jumping in like that. Let her finish.
Well, she's saying nonsensical things.
My name is Jacqueline. Thank you.
Just because she's a teacher.
I can't. Phil, you see what you're dealing with.
Bobby, hold on. No, Jackie, go ahead. I'm going to put her on hold. Go ahead.
Okay. When the... callers address.
I broke off
the issue. A 13-year-old has no legal right to consent to sexual activity with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And a 13-year-old child is raped by Roman Polanski, and you're saying as a 50-year-old she needs to let it go?
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
are sick.
Mm-hmm.
You are absolutely sick. Child rape carries on a horrible legacy.
Yes.
And
yes,
you don't know
does.
That because you've never experienced it.
Yes.
And you need to
well, how do you know?
Shut up.
How do you know?
No, not up. Because I'm a
know?
Child advocate since 1991.
Well, how do you know
and
what my life has been? What do you know about my life? What do you know what
Excuse
I've been through?
You? I have been in court in Nebraska, Texas, California,
what do you know about
Arizona.
No, but you said I haven't been through this. How
you
do you know what I've been
know
through?
Know what you are speaking of, ma'am. And you need to not
Well, I can tell you this.
Because when I
agree
find out
with
where
you.
You're giving this
I agree
award,
with you. I agree with you, except
write
in the case of Tiger Woods.
State that you live in, I will write to your governor, I will write to your attorney general's office, and you will be investigated for your promulgation of illicit illegal activity. Because
they're
going to
take your letter and throw it in the garbage can.
You're married
they're
to a pedophile. I'll bet you anything. You're married to
they'll
one.
They'll probably throw your letter in the garbage. The governor is going to throw your letter in the garbage.
Because you're married to a pedophile. You should just admit it and hang up.
Well, so are you. So are you. So
I'm
what
sorry?
Difference does it make?
Who am I married to?
So are, yeah.
Who
is
am
his,
I married
isn't
to?
Name Pete, isn't his name Pete File?
Who am I married
I'm
to?
Joking.
I'm joking.
Now, who are you married to? What are you married to?
Business. It's none of your business.
Oh. Well, so he has a long criminal history.
Who am I?
A long criminal history?
I have a DOJ clearance, ma'am. Right. A Department of Justice clearance. A 10-point role. And a DPS card in the state of Texas. And lifetime certification.
Mm-hmm.
So you know not what you are speaking of, and you need to quit and hang up now.
You have a BFD? What did she say?
I'm sorry? A BFD? Are you making fun of me? I have a BFD?
No, you said
you're
you have
BFD.
A BFD in something.
No, I said I have a Bachelor of Science in Education, and I'm a child advocate.
No, you didn't. No,
right?
You said you
I
had
have
a BFD.
Department of Justice clearance on my
Phil Hendry.